As a suddenly single mom with no job, no money in the bank, no babysitter, and no family close by, I launched a six-figure real estate career. With three boys in diapers, 3 months into home foreclosure, I worked my way out of the toughest time of my life and financial turmoil in 3 hours a day. I'm your host, Sarah Cruz. This show is designed to bring you the best strategies, practices, and tips from top producing agents around the country. Welcome to the 3 Hour Agent.
This is Sarah Cruz, the 3 Hour Agent, and we are here with Jesse Zagorski. I've known Jesse for a few years. I met him in the coaching community. He's a business owner out of San Diego. He owns his own team. So I'm going to let you tell more about yourself, Jesse.
Awesome, sure. And I love that I'm talking to the 3 Hour Agent, because I am. It's cool. So I started my business about 15, 16 years ago, and I have done almost every position in a real estate office, from being, you know, inside salesperson, meaning fielding the leads and booking appointments for other people. I've been a buyer's agent. I've been a listing agent. I've answered phones. If the toilets were dirty, I've cleaned the toilets. I've been the broker, and I've been the broker of record for years. So I've been a broker. It's, you name it, I've probably done it in a real estate office. And in the middle, I started out in the retail market, and then I did a lot of REO, the downturn, and then back to running a retail team. And I've run teams for most of my 15 years. I've run teams of various sizes, from 3 agents up to, you know, 20 plus agents.
Okay, really quick, before you get started on how you did all of this and what was your number one business generation, do you think a team is beneficial to an agent? Why would an agent want to join a team?
That's a really good question. So you think why should an agent, did you say join a team or start a team?
Both. I like both questions, but why would an agent want to join a team?
Okay. Benefits to joining a team are, one, if you're newer in the business, it's going to shorten your learning curve. You're going to be surrounded by resources and people and systems that you could figure it out on your own, or you could get outside coaching. But I found that most agents that join teams are able to compress a couple of years of learning down into, you know, 6 months to a year. You're getting everything going as quickly as possible. The other benefit, and this goes for newer agents or even seasoned agents, sometimes agents who have experience choose to join teams because they don't want to spend the money on lead generation. They don't want to spend the time setting up systems. They don't want to spend all the effort. And so for them, all they really want to do is focus on meeting clients, you know, serving clients, and they might not have the capital. They might not have the money saved that it takes to start, because it does take some money to start generating business, or takes time. And that would be the reason why people would, the benefits to joining a team.
Right. And I absolutely think it's important that you choose the team wisely, because there's teams out there that all they give you is the brand, the name. They don't give you the admin. They don't give you the leads. You're doing everything yourself, but you're paying somebody 30% for...
Or 50, 60, 70%.
Or more than that. Yeah.
I've seen all sorts of team splits.
I say 30 because there's a specific agent in my market that I talk to frequently, and she brings in her own business, doesn't get leads, puts up her own signs. I guess the only thing she does have is the marketing. But from my own... story, I refused to be on a team because I didn't want to give up that commission. But now that I've been through the year, I mean, I still don't have everything set up. It's just a constant hustle, and I would have had more peace of mind. I probably would have made more money going and being on a team and just automatically doing business.
You don't know what you don't know, right? And right. I think another big part of it is, though, is the way you are made up, your constitution or whatever is driving you. If you get into real estate and you're just like, man, I'm going to be the captain of my own ship. Like I want to do lead generation. I love marketing and I love doing all these things. Then you probably are meant to be a solo agent, and it still might help you to join a team, but you might just not be wired in a way that you'll ever fit wanting to be on a team. Some people just like, it's just not for them.
Right. Some people are wired for it. I totally agree.
Right. And some people don't find that.
If you need to pay your mortgage, just go be on a team. Take it from me. Just go be on a team.
Well, because did you find, I mean, you agree with me, right? When you're first starting out, it does take time and money to get everything going.
Right. Oh, it more than you would think. Just, and then the time building your systems. And some people don't know what they're doing yet in real estate. And then you're just taking that extra, you don't know what are systems? What systems do I put in? You're focusing on getting your deals and yeah. It's already a whirlwind. So
yeah,
I'm not here to push teams, but I would say just from personal experience, I think it's a very beneficial for a new agent.
Yeah, I fully agree. Starting out, I mean, or and even people experience, just depends on where they're at in their career and what's important to them.
Do you want to talk about why you would build a team?
Sure. I mean, you build a team mainly for leverage. I think most people, as they figure out, okay, I've learned, whether I've learned enough or I've actually truly mastered how to work with buyers, or I've learned enough or how I've mastered how to work with sellers. Every step in the way, at least my brain is always thinking about leverage. How do you do more with less time? So working with buyers, I actually like working with buyers. The challenge is it takes up a lot of time, right? Like there's only so many buyers you can drive around because looking at houses does take time. Then you go, all right, well, let's do listings. Listings are more leveraged. I can have my back office handle a lot of the tasks. I don't have to drive around doing showings. But then you get to the point where, okay, even with listings, you still have limited hours in the day of what you're limited to. So as you expand to a team, it lets you leverage your time through people that now you're, instead of actually handling clients, you're training other people on how to handle clients. And so you go train a team of 5-10 agents and they're able to work with that many more buyers. In my experience though, it doesn't work out usually as nicely as that plan is. You think, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm gonna have so much more leverage. But team leaders work just as hard, if not harder than most of their team agents. Right? I mean, then you've just traded one responsibility for another. So in some ways there is leverage, in some ways you guys give you some more flexibility, but you really have to get to a certain level of scale and growth with a team before you can get that little bit of like, oh, I am getting some leverage now. And most team leaders don't make it past that point. Most team leaders have just added more job responsibilities and frankly would have been more profitable staying solo agents than having a team.
Yep. I know I see a lot of agents on Lab Code Agents and all the other real estate groups that have that issue. I know Michael Hellickson asked the other day, solo or team? And they're looking at all the comments. I can relate to each, to every one of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, every team leader I've talked to who is currently successful has stories of months where they lost $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in a single month, which is stressful. Like as a solo agent, you don't really have a month where you lose $20,000,
$30,000,
$40,000. I never can afford that. No, but as a team, it's this bigger swings. And so once you get over that hump, like, and it's, you're starting a business. It's people who are wired to be entrepreneurs and really want to run a business. That's what a team is. I mean, you are selling something that happens to be houses. That's kind of the way I look at it.
Right.
Like you're selling something and your widget is houses.
Right. Yeah. So 15, 16 years in real estate.
Yeah.
And so where, do you remember how long it took you to do your first deal?
No. when I got into real estate, I never wanted to be in real estate. I wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah.
I mean, I got into real estate because my mom was working full-time in real estate for about 2 years. They sold the previous business and I was trying to be a rock star, playing in a band. And my mom was like, yeah, you should get a real estate license. And you could do it part-time and then still keep playing in a band. And 16 years ago, that's what I did. So I was mainly setting appointments for my mom to start with. Like I went off to a Craig Proctor super conference, mm-hmm. Learned how to do direct response marketing, started generating leads and then handling those inbound leads and booking appointments for my mom and a couple of agents on the team. So I don't think I had a very non-traditional career. Like I was kind of an ISA and I didn't really do my own deal for a while, because even when I started meeting clients, I'd still turn them over to my mom to handle the paperwork. I never liked paperwork.
Right. Well, that's neat that you got started like that.
Yeah. And I've actually coached other agents to start in the same way, not to give deals to my mom, but like we found a TC locally here in San Diego that loves the paperwork. And I can take a newer agent who's business minded and very outgoing and say, look, you get hung up on the paperwork part. Go get a deal, go send it to this TC, say, here's the terms you want to write it up. You got to learn how to read and review it at least so you know what you're looking at. Right. She's 20 years experience. And I've helped a couple of new agents get started that way that are they're out there selling houses, and it took them 6 months before they ever got comfortable with the paperwork side, and they were still selling houses.
Right. And that's another benefit of being on a team. Sometimes you have people writing up your contracts for you.
Yeah.
And I have a transaction coordinator, but I do all the negotiating, writing up the paperwork, which is my least, like, I don't like to do any of that. But
would your TC do it?
Yes, for extra. But usually, you know, it's like 9 o'clock at night sometimes. And I like to take one for the team.
Yeah.
At that point. I don't want to ask anybody to do it at that late or early morning.
But why is that? Can I ask you a question? Why is it that clients always seem to decide they want to do things at 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night? And that's when then you have to write it. Like, we have all day to do these things, but it's always like 9 o'clock that they're like, all right, we're ready. Let's write this up.
Oh yeah. This is a great conversation. When I was a new agent, then I was dropping everything 10 o'clock at night, excited to write that contract. But now I set expectations. I'm like, okay, I'm going to contact the other agent, let them know that the offer's coming. First thing in the morning, we'll get this written up. But I did have a situation this past week where, so I have clients or friends from baseball that saw their old house come on the market. And that day, like, we needed, it was a very affordable house with a pool. So I knew multiple offers were going to be coming in. And so I was writing an offer late at night. But I mean, what a cool story.
So they bought their old house back?
Well, there's some financing issues that we ran into, but it was a really great story. But
they're trying to buy their old house back.
Yeah.
How cool.
I love that. So I didn't mind. I was like, yeah, let's get your old house back. Because they had they had a life event. They had lost the home. So we're just a couple months shy of them being able to get financing for that. That's another story.
Yeah.
But so when did you start doing deals? More importantly, how did you start getting business when you started closing?
Yeah. So when I first, how did I get business? I was always it wasn't online lead generation then. Even back at the very beginning, 16 years ago, it was still some print ads for lead generation. But I was doing something called direct response marketing, which is, there's a guy named Dan Kennedy that wrote a number of books that the concepts still apply today. And it's funny, it went away for a while, but I'm seeing it come back more and more through content marketing style things on the internet. Direct response marketing is, instead of saying, hey, I'm the best, call me, I'm number one, which is like a brand advertising. Direct response marketing is, you are offering something of value. So if long ago it used to be, you know, hey, you want a list of distressed properties, you know, call this number or go to this website. Then we started having websites, you know, go to this website and enter your information. So I'm starting to see things like that come back again on Facebook now, where there's ads that are not just about a specific property, right? There are ads that, and we've been using for years, that here's an informational report on the top 10 mistakes people make when going to list their home, right? I saw something the other day on, you know, ways to prep your home for sale during a pandemic. Here, you know, click on this, right? Click on this information to get a special report. Or here's a video that talks about the top, you know, 10 ways, and here's 3 of them if you want to watch the other 7. And I just started learning to do that style of ads. That was how I started out and got really into it. So I would generate the leads, and then leads would come in, and you give them the information they want, and then you have a conversation. That's all it was, is finding out their timing and motivation and seeing how you can help them.
And writing up the ad, coming up with that value.
Yeah. So you don't even need to know how to come up with it. You can start Googling direct response ads for real estate and find all sorts of templates of ads that exist, pop them onto Facebook, put a little budget behind them. You can teach yourself this stuff if you have the mind for it. That's why is why, for some people listening to this, if they're like, dude, that sounds miserable, great, join a team, business will show up, or start growing your sphere. That's the whole other way that I feel like the majority of agents start out, by growing their sphere. I always ignored my sphere, which was probably a mistake, and my life would be a lot easier 16 years later.
Yeah.
But I went the other way of generating leads.
Right, and now you can tell us all about it. So what's... Yeah. And we all know the number one thing, if you're going to go through the trouble of running an ad and get that human contact, then you need to have a follow-up plan, which is, I used to lack that until I joined coaching.
I mean, can I give the secret to follow up?
Yeah.
Just call them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did a whole panel, a whole Zoom panel the other day on automations and CRMs and follow-up, and like, you can set up some really complicated funnels. You can. And there are some things that are some pretty effective things these days that do help. And what that does is, if you're generating a huge amount of leads, that will help you figure out which are the good ones and just process more. At the same time, if you have a small amount of leads and you just call them a lot and you just follow up, like, that's all I used to do. And it still works. And when I say call, it could be texting these days. You could be texting them a lot. Text is almost more effective with some people than calling. They
right.
want to talk
send
to you.
Them a video.
Right. It's a video text, whatever it is. I mean, that's, if you just, the reason most agents fail, and tell me what you think about this, is they want immediate gratification and they stop
yes.
following up.
I have that issue too, but I think once it starts coming, I think agents just need to be patient with themselves and give themselves grace, because it's hard in our industry. You see all these rock stars getting business and you just want that. You want to do the same, but comparison is the thief of joy. That's the one thing that I remember. And just do your thing. And I don't know, I'm getting off subject, but.
No, but when you see these rock stars getting business.
It's discouraging when you don't have as much.
Yeah, but you don't know where it came from. How did the rock stars get their business? How many years did it take to get to the point where.
Where, how are they doing it? There's 100 ways to get there.
Right.
And they want to know.
Yep. And a lot of these rock stars prospect their butts off.
Yes.
They do. They don't always talk about it, but like, they do follow up. Like, you know, our buddy, Mike Bjorkman, right? Mm-hmm. Mike, who has people calling him all the time. He doesn't think of it in terms of prospecting and follow up, but he is, I talked to him. He's always following up with people that, you know, he had communicated with. And he's not like as linear, like he goes down a CRM and does it. He just fires off a bunch of Facebook messages. He's just like,
right.
and that's his follow-up. But he is keeping in touch and following up with people. And he does it very consistently.
And he's really responsive too. So as busy as he is, he's always messaging me back or answering his phone.
Doesn't that blow your mind? How do really busy people respond so quickly?
I don't know, but it's just proof that it can be done. So there's... The only reason I bring that up is that one of the number one frustrations with agents is that the other agent doesn't answer their phone.
Right.
But everyone's just as busy as everyone else.
So I've gone back to working with some buyers lately. So I've actually scaled my team in size down. And I started working with some buyers myself just because I would say I've missed it, but I've kind of missed working with buyers. But it's just, I know how to do it. I've done it so long. And the margins are I like making clients happy, and the margins, especially in San Diego, are so good working with these clients. So now that I'm working with clients and I'm, you know, calling to set up showings, I still am so surprised when an agent answers their phone to set up a showing. Like with coronavirus, you got to call everybody and there's all these extra steps, you know, to set up showings, but it's still no one's answering their phones. It's like you text, you wait to hear back. And sometimes you'll call and someone will think, oh, wow, that's so fun. You answered your phone. That's so nice. Right. So it's the lost art. My mom taught me that. When I worked with my mom as my business partner for years, and she taught me, if you just pick up your phone, that solves most of it.
It does. And it does get annoying. But when you have something on the MLS, like home flooded, and then they call you, did this home flood? Yes. But I want to be nice as possible because I want to sell the house.
Totally.
But there's frustrations, but that is just part of the job.
Right. Well, so, that's a whole other topic, by the way, in terms of talking to agents. I mean, there's things you can do in terms of, you know, growing your team or growing your brokerage. If you're making friends with other agents and answering your phone, like I have a friend now that is consciously put his number back into all listings, and he wants to talk to every single agent that has a question, because he's like, that's the best way for me to grow my team and my brokerage is just through talking to other agents, making friends, and
yeah.
asking them, you know, what's going on with their business and seeing how I can help them.
Yeah. Bringing value.
Yep.
That's like the number one thing for sales and agent attraction.
And life.
Yeah. It's easier.
Yeah.
So I like where this conversation is going.
Me too.
What are the top three things that you would recommend to a new agent to start their business?
Top three things. Get a CRM and get organized. Can I call that number one?
Yep.
Get a CRM and get organized, because truly, even though I didn't go this way, I think if agents organize their, make a list of people they want to do business with in their sphere and get organized in the CRM and get strategic about it, you're going to build a very, it might take a little bit, but you'll build a very successful career just doing that. The second thing after you get your CRM, get organized, then would be figure out how quickly you need to make money and come up with a game plan, whether it's through a coach, mentor, whoever, right? Find out from model people who've done it before and figure out what's your game plan, what you're going to choose your route to make money, and pick one source and master that, right? Whether it be at some point, maybe I'll do open houses again. So maybe it's open houses. Maybe it's online leads. Maybe it's whatever, you know, your calling expires. It doesn't matter what it is, but pick something and say, I'm going to master this, because you've got to get to a paycheck quickly, or else if you're a brand new agent, you're going to lose you're going to leave the business before you even get started. Mm-hmm. Right. So we've got get a CRM, get organized, pick your one thing to master, start a strategy. And then I'm going to go with the third one is be patient.
Yeah.
Most agents give up right before they're about to have massive success.
Right.
I've seen it over and over and over again throughout the years. This is a game of inches that you don't even realize what you're building. It's this, and suddenly you look up and there's a pipeline. Like, I've got an agent on my team here who chose to target higher value leads. He was claiming the $2, $3, $4, $5 million leads. And it was like an entire year where there was nothing happening. And like, he's like, but I'm calling and I'm doing stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but like, you're choosing to work with a segment that's going to take longer. And all of a sudden now, yeah, finally his pipeline built up, and now it's finally deal. And he didn't give up on it. It took a very long time to I kept telling him, go work some lower price point stuff, man. Like, get some deals. And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm going to keep building this. I'm like, okay. And yeah, now it's finally paying off.
I can't say that I would have kept going, because I would do a deal and then I wouldn't do a deal. And then I'd have to pick myself at, like, but if I couldn't afford daycare. This is my only option. So I can't say that I would have stayed in the business myself. So that's why I give props to people that don't really need to work and they are a rock star at real estate.
Yeah.
Just because I've been on the completely other side of the spectrum where I had to make it work.
Right.
No matter what. And then I had no choice but to keep going. But
back against the wall, what are you going to do? Like, there's no figure it out.
Yeah. Wake up at 3 a.m, do stuff. I like those. One of Brent's answers was calling expires, and we kind of went off in a rabbit hole with that on our interview, but it was really good information. I think that's a really good place for agents to, if you have nothing else to do.
And it's free. It's a skill you can learn. Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody. It's going to have to toughen you up, right? I'm sure you guys talked about that, but I used to call a lot of expireds, actually. I got very good with expireds.
Well, there's free content out there to help you with the expireds.
Yeah, with scripting.
Hmm?
Yeah, you mean with the scripts?
Scripts, creative things that you can do to sell, to send something to the seller, to set yourself apart from all of the other people that are calling.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you want my favorite closing line for an expired script. So this is an alternative choice close, which means you give two equally acceptable alternatives to the client, whichever one, and doesn't matter which one they pick, either one's okay with you. And instead of answering like a yes, no question, you give an alternative choice close. So that's like, hey, you want to meet me at 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock? That's one of the most common ones people use. My one for expireds are, after finding a little bit about themselves and what's going on, I would always ask at the end of my script, all right, so at this point, are you more interested in learning what went wrong last time or the specific steps to take to get your house sold next time?
Right. They probably want to know both.
Well, it doesn't matter what they say though. Either way, I'm going to an appointment. right? Yeah. Do they want to know what happened last time? Great, let's get together. I mean, this time you're not getting together in person, obviously, right now, but you can do it. Let's jump on Zoom and I'll break down exactly what went wrong next time. Or they say, I just want to know what happens next time. If they want to know either, you've got an appointment. That was my favorite closing line for Expired.
That's really good.
Thanks.
I don't know why you wouldn't get an appointment with that.
I did. I got lots of appointments.
I know. I'm sure agents could use that right now. Well, great. Do you have, what do you think about mindset?
Do whatever you need to do on a daily basis to reset your mindset. Know that it's not going to be linear. Know that you're probably going to have good days and bad days, and days that, depending on what's going on, you have to reset your mindset multiple times in a day. But being surrounded by people, like whatever you consume in your brain, the more you can be surrounded by people that light you up and motivate you. Back to the whole team concept, right? That's one of the reasons why some people do love teams, is because they feed off the energy. They don't feel like they're such in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. But you can create that same, without being on a team, you can create that group and get your mastermind, your mentors, your peers. Like there's ways to create that, partnering up with someone, or just that, there's all sorts of ways to create that energy. And I would say mindset is probably, I used to do a lot of sales training, for small groups, big groups. And I'd always ask, I would say, all right, out of real estate sales, what percentage do you think is mental mindset and what percentage do you think is skills? And every single audience, 10 people or 100 people or 500 people, would pretty much always say that it's like 80 to 90 to 95% mindset, mm-hmm. and like 10% skill. It's pretty interesting. So mindset's, that's everything in real estate.
Oh, I completely agree.
So what do you do for mindset?
So when I was in the, just a few years ago when I was really struggling, I was actually coaching with Misty Bruton, mm-hmm. and she knew my mindset was in the gutter. So she recommended the Miracle Morning, and it was so good. And I still do it. I wake up and I'm actually doing a 30-day challenge that's run by the author and his coaching group, but it's like $100 and it would be free, but he said it's people show up when they have to pay for it.
Yep.
It is so good. And the stuff that you accomplish during it more than pays off for the $100. Like you get it tenfold just because you're you actually get to think of things. So parents is a perfect example. You have your kids, it's constant. You're just constantly doing things for your kids, making them dinner, washing the dishes. This is like a time where you actually get to think of your own thing and what you want to do in your business. And you control your day instead of waking up to your kids waking you up. And then all of a sudden it's so hectic throughout the entire day. This is your way of taking control and, good mindset, that I have a positive outlook on life now. And so it's huge. I would recommend it to anybody.
I like control your day, by the way. I think it's a really good one.
Yeah. And there's often conversations online on Facebook. Why wake up so early? I like to work at night. Well, that's why you wake up early and you do things in the morning, is you control your day. And it's not, it's more less of a whirlwind instead of.
Which helps your mindset. It all plays together. I love it.
Yeah. And it's not just for quarantine. It's when the kids are in school, just everything. Cause we deal with some difficult people.
Yeah, we do.
All different personalities. So it helps a lot. And it's really gotten me where I am today.
Dude, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So that paired up with a good tribe. I love what I do and I love the people I work with.
It makes all the difference. It does.
Brings me to my next question, actually.
Okay.
What made you choose your current broker? And you can mention.
Yeah, well, choose my current. So I was an independent broker for 14 years. And I switched to EXP about almost a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. I switched for there's so many reasons, but the resources in terms of what it provides for tools for agents as an independent broker, it was getting to the point where it was really hard to compete with a lot of the tools that were offered. And then I like the fact that from an expansion standpoint, it allowed me to grow. Like, I was running a brokerage that had a lot of, running a brokerage is expensive, costs a lot of money, a lot of liability, and you're limited to a small geographic area. With eXp, it allowed me to expand and to grow pretty much all across the country with no liability, no risk to, you know, to capital. It doesn't cost a lot of money. And it allowed me to partner up with a lot of people and create collaborations in a way that just wasn't possible before. And that's really some of the and some of the most fun is the fact that every single agent at the company has the same opportunity. And you don't have to have run a brokerage. I ran a brokerage for 14 years. You don't have to have done that. You literally could just be brand new an agent and you get the same opportunity. It's amazing.
That's one of the things I love about it is everybody is on the same deal. You have the same deal.
Yep.
We all sign the same independent contractor agreement. The last couple of brokerages I was with, everybody was on different deals because you could negotiate. So am I paying more than the other person? Like,
maybe not.
I don't know.
Right.
But that's what I like about it. And you can grow as big as you want. So
it just adds an extra income stream. There's the stock component. The technology behind it, there's really, that's probably a whole separate conversation, but like it was, once I finally looked at it, it was a very easy decision for me.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Okay. Any closing words of wisdom?
Yeah. If someone's watching this and they're newer and they need support, reach out to me, reach out to you, just like get connected. It's one of those things that you say that out of 100 people who watch this, maybe 3 will actually reach out. But the 3 that reach out, you always see just this amazing transformation, and those people who get it. So if you connect, like, let's see how we can help you. Happy to help, happy to do anything that we can to support anybody watching this.
Well, you're welcome to give out your information.
Yeah. Hit me up on Facebook. Probably that's the best way, is Facebook, Jesse Zagorski, or Instagram, send me a message. You can jump on my calendar. Talk to Jay-Z, just say, and then set up a call with you, me, and Sarah. We can all jump on a call and see how we can help you.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being
one of my guinea pigs.
Yeah, 3-hour agents, do it.
Woohoo! Okay.